Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, I saw something this week that said, the difference in the mindsets, right, between when we are going through something and we ask, why, God, is this happening to me? Compared to the mindset of, what are you trying to teach me in this moment? And you know, it's not that God's not already moving in this world. He's already doing things. But when we see things happening in the world that people are hurting and wanting to know the answers so much, we should have a different mindset that does say, what are you doing in this moment? Even though it seems bad, even though I feel like I'm in the middle of the storm where I don't know what to do, what are you wanting to do in me right now in this moment? What are you wanting to give me? What are you wanting to say? What is it that you desire? Because what you're doing now is still in your hands. When we begin to make that shift, when we begin to think in the kingdom, when we take hold of the promises and realize that regardless of what we go through, we need to stand on them. We need to hold on to them. When you go through bad, don't let it go. When things are going wrong, don't just forget about all the things that He's already given you, all the promises that He's already placed in your life. Because in those moments, they still stand. In those moments that you feel like everything's falling apart, He's already given you the things that you need. It's up to us to decide, I'm standing on. It's in those moments that we gotta remember, stand on the Word. Stand on the promises, the things that He's given you. Because as you move through those moments, you'll begin to see Him continuing to work, because He doesn't leave you in those moments. He carries you through those moments. When we feel like we can't move forward, when we feel like we've hit our limit, when we feel like everything's against us, He is for us. And He tells us, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So you have victory. You have victory. It's given to you now. When He died upon that cross and He gave you the Holy Spirit, He gave you every tool. He defeated death and gave you everything you needed that you could walk through this life, that you could do everything He's called you to do. But it takes us staying focused. It takes us keeping our eyes on Him through it all. Just like I think a couple of weeks ago, somebody was talking about getting out of the boat. When we keep our eyes focused on Him, we forget about the storm, the waves, the chaos that's around us, and we just stay focused on Him. All things are possible. You begin to see those movings in your life in such a powerful way, because now instead of saying, why is it happening to me? We're taking a stance that says, what do you want for me now? What is it that you have for me now? What do you want to move me into in this moment, even though it feels like everything is wrong? Because in those moments, He still has more. In those moments, if we stay focused, if we continue to go after Him, we'll see an even more powerful moving. Because if we just allow Him to be the strength that we need, the peace that passes all understanding, there's a powerful thing that happens in there. We begin to realize that it's not by our strength. It's not by our might, but by His. His working in our life. His promises in our life. It's not the things that we do. It's Him in us that makes us more than a conqueror.
Am I on? Yeah. Father God, when we pray your kingdom come,
Lord, you're there. Lord, we are children of the kingdom. And Lord, you've always moved, Lord, as we just sang, Lord. You're always moving in our lives, Lord. You're always doing those things, Lord. Those things that are expected from us, miracles and healings and just your presence, Lord, that is evident throughout the world, Lord. Lord, as we do see the chaos, Lord, that's around us. Lord, when our eyes are on you, Lord, we are in your kingdom, Lord, and nothing that is not of you can enter that kingdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that today we can meet, Lord, and today we can say, Lord, that our expectations of where we are and where we're going, Lord, are beyond limits. Lord, those things that are going on around the world for us, Lord, they're for us to just look at, but for us not to join in that. Lord, sickness will not take a hold on this church, Lord. And we declare that in the glorious name of Jesus, Lord. It is not a part of who we are, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. And we bless what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. Bless you guys. We always love what you do. Amen. Give him a hand. Some of you, today we have a very special speaker. And even though he has been here previously, but he's still a special guy to the oldies that live here. And so once again, Pastor David Swift will be bringing the word this morning. And you're still, where do you live, Pastor? Oklahoma, see? So it's not like just around the corner. So, but I know Pastor Henry has always told us that Pastor Dave has spoken into his life so many times, and he looks to him as his pastor. You all have to have a pastor. And so we thank God that he placed Pastor Dave in Pastor Henry's life. And he's definitely has blessed us by bringing him here since this church got established. And so please, please give Pastor Dave a hand here.
Well, good morning. How are we doing today? Doing good? Come on, somebody. You know, your pastor, I love so much. I got the privilege of talking with him this week several times, and there's just something energetic. There's something about Pastor Henry that inspires you. Can I get a witness, right? So he was like, hey, he texted me this morning, can you just tell the church how much I love them, how much I appreciate them, how much I miss them, how much I care about them? And that's the guy. I mean, Pastor Henry has always been such an encouragement, such an inspiration in my life. And you know, in this season, we're all navigating something, right? We're all navigating. There's a faith that we're living by. And you know what? Being responsible isn't a lack of faith. Being cautious isn't a lack of faith. It's operating in what God has spoke to you. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about a faith that's marked by God's presence, that our faith gets marked, that there's a mark in our life. And when I was 15 years old, I grew up in the church, but at 15, I got marked by God's presence. It changed everything. There's an individual in Acts chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to try to move this. Last time I did it, I almost broke it. But in Acts chapter 9, We know this story as the road to Damascus, and it's the conversion of Saul. He is about to become one of the most prolific apostles, disciples, but probably more than that, one of the most prolific voices that the world is about to hear. You know what I love about this story is that Paul doesn't realize that he's going to be a prolific voice. He's just being obedient. Doesn't realize that in 2,000 years, people are going to be opening a Bible and reading about his letters to the Ephesians and to the Corinthians. He doesn't realize the impact that he's going to make. And I think sometimes, if not careful, we limit our impact by who we think we are instead of who God says we are. We live a lifestyle in the manner of information instead of impartation. And that's what's happening. I want to remind you as we read, because many people in this room know the Apostle Paul. They know the impact that he made. You may realize that he wrote most of the New Testament, but to this point, he was marked by moments. We're all marked by moments. Life isn't great because of years. It's great because of moments. Neuroscience will tell us that the greatest moments or the greatest memories that we have are birthed out of the greatest emotions. Whether it's a painful emotion or a joyful emotion, the deeper the emotion, the stronger the memory. It is created by emotion, but in our life, there's things that are emotional, but then there's things that are spiritual. Then I'm not driven by just my emotion, but I'm driven by the Spirit of God, what God is speaking. I'm not just someone that is informational, but I realize that there's impartation of God's presence. When God's Holy Spirit comes into my life, it changes everything. So when we look at the Apostle Paul's life, or the conversion of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, we're looking at something that is such an unbelievable moment. And you know what? You may not have a conversion like Paul. Few do. But what God does in the change of your life should still be radical. I think what God is doing in Acts chapter 9 is he is painting a picture. He is giving an example of the transformation that happens when God comes to our life. He impacts us in a supernatural way. In Acts 9, verse 1, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?'" I love this answer of Saul. "Who are you, Lord?" I want to pause there, because Saul is on a mission for God. You've got to understand that Saul isn't someone that feels like he's the enemy of God. Saul feels like actually he's the ambassador of God. Saul isn't doing this just for something of political gain or drive. He's doing this because he believes that the church that is rising up in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts, the actions of the church are against everything he's been taught. From the beginning of his life, he has been educated in the law. He is Jew of the Jews. He is a religious leader. He is someone that has driven his life for the purpose of God. But what he gets is he has an information of who God has been, but he doesn't have a revelation who God could become. I think a lot of us live like that. We have information of who God was. We even have testimonies of what God has done, but I'm praying for a revelation of what God wants to do, what God can do, what God is willing to do for my life. I don't want to get caught in my yesterday. I want to be inspired by my tomorrow. And so here he is, and Saul says, "Who are you?" You know, you can have a knowledge of God, but not have a relationship with God. Just because you have a knowledge of money doesn't mean you're rich. Just means you'd like to be rich. Just because you have a knowledge of relationship doesn't make you in a relationship. And just because we have a knowledge of God doesn't mean we have a relationship with God. Paul has a knowledge, but he doesn't have a relationship. He has a He has information, but he doesn't have revelation. And he's about to have a moment that changes his life. All the moments up to here, his moments of education, his moments of intellect, his moments of relationship, his moments of what's next for his life, his disciplines. Because you find that Saul is an incredibly disciplined, driven individual. And you know what I love is he doesn't change when he gets saved. I think that's what happens is, well, man, I'm this person. When I get saved, I'm going to become this person. No, you know what happens when you get saved is God begins to pull out the real you. It doesn't mean that it changes your personality. It changes your heart in the way you live your personality. That's what happens in his life. And that's what's happening. And it goes on in verse 5. It says, Saul asked, who are you? It's this thing, who are you? What is it that's happening in my life? And then it says that I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And Jesus replies, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. I love what Jesus does right here in a moment. He has a conversion. Paul in this moment is radical. It's a radical conversion. He is on his donkey or beast. And God literally knocks him off onto the ground. He becomes blind. And God speaks to him. That didn't happen when I got saved. I mean, you're looking at a radical moment. But I think there was a radical moment because God had radical things for Paul. Then there was a radical moment of transformation that happened in the life of Paul. And when you look at it, there are some types and shadows that give us an understanding that Paul became blind physically, but he became awakened. He began to see spiritually. He began to realize that there was a Messiah. His name was Jesus that died for him, that rose again, that was speaking to him in his life, that had a love and a grace and a power that he needed by the Holy Spirit. And his life is so transformed that Paul is changed, but everyone around him is questioning. You ever had someone in your life that you're like, God, you're big, but I don't even know if you can change this guy? You ever have that crazy uncle, that individual that it's like, I know God's big, but is he this big? I think that's who Paul was to the church. The church was declaring who God was, but they didn't know how big God was yet. And then Paul gets saved. It's to the point where God comes and speaks to a disciple by the name of Ananias and says, Ananias, there's a man, his name is Saul from Tarsus. I want you to go pray for him. Because he's praying right now for what I have for his life. And Ananias is like, God, whoa, whoa, hold up. Do you know who you're talking about? That guy's trying to kill us. I'm not going to go pray for him. It's almost like Ananias is like, God, whoa, don't you get it? You've been fooled. Because Ananias is just thinking of who he believes someone to be. See, that's the problem with having mindsets of people, how people used to be. We'll keep telling them who they were instead of who they're called to be. When God's given us a voice to declare what the future is, not what the past has been, He has called us to have a voice that inspires. You know, when we were singing, This Is a Move, that's what we need in a nation here. We don't need more information. All I've got to do is say, hey, Siri. And my phone it woke up. What food is around me? What movies are around me? Is there someone I don't like around me? I mean, we have more information. We have more information than we know what to do with. But just because you have information doesn't mean you're informed. It doesn't mean that you have it set. Paul had all the information. When he begins to talk about his pedigree, he begins to declare who he was. And then he says, but where God is great is in the least of these things. Where I have found out God to be great isn't in the greatness of my life, but the willingness of my life. We think that someday I'll be able to do something great for God. God doesn't need us to be able. He needs us to be willing. Because he's able to do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. He's the God who's able. I just got to be willing to say, okay, God, you're up to something. God, you want to move in my life. I want you to move in my life. That when we're singing, this is a move, if not careful, you'll think about what God isn't doing instead of declaring and celebrating what God is doing. You'll get paralyzed by what hasn't happened instead of inspired about what God could do, what God wants to do, what God is willing to do. That's who God is, that God's up to something. And so when he moves in the life of Paul, Paul is so impacted that what he did would no longer mark his significance, but his significance would be marked by everything God has done. What do I mean by that is this, is I think sometimes we are pressured that, okay, I'm a Christian. God wants me to do something significant. No, God wants you to allow him to do something significant so that everything you do has significance. The pressure of, oh, wow, okay, I'm a Christian. I got to do something super. I got to slay giants. What you have to do is what God's asking you to do. Because there's significance in you. Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he resides in you. He resides in me. He resides within our life for something more. Amen? There's something more. And here's Paul. He has all the information. He has all the knowledge. He has all the pedigree, but he doesn't have the moment. This moment changes all the moments from this place. I want you to see that. God says that I make all things new, that every moment that was up to this moment, I don't care what you, the week, that what the moments of this week has been, that when you have a moment with God, it changes everything. That his moment trumps my moments. That his moment inspires the moments of my future, the moments of my now. And if not careful, I will get so caught in what the moments have been, I'll miss the moment of a God that creates momentum, that increases his presence in my life, that brings transformation, not just in my life, but the lives of others. It continues to work, not just on my behalf, but it works on the behalf of everyone that is around me. If you have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 16, it's really where I want to talk a little bit more about God's presence. Because Acts chapter 9 changes the way Paul thinks. I know that Paul was Saul of Tarsus and then he became Paul, but theologians will tell you that most people in that time had two names. It wasn't something of just transformation. It wasn't that. It was that Paul literally probably said, you know, people call me Saul and some people call me Paul, but the people that used to call me Saul, there's a difference. There's a separation in my life. I'm a new creation. Can I tell you something? When you wake up in the morning, do you realize that God starts new with you every day? You don't wake up and God's like, all right, let me give you the list of where you messed up yesterday. You know how that works. It's God makes his mercies are new every morning. Not some mornings, not Sunday mornings. When you start your day, you start a new day. But if not careful, your new day will be limited by old thoughts, by old moments. But God's saying, no, I want you to wake up and start your day with me in a new way, for new things, for new possibilities, for what I have for your life. And so Paul in Acts chapter 16, he's in Derbe and he's ministering. And when he's in Derbe ministering, He has this dream of a man in Macedonia, and the man in Macedonia is just waving him to come over to Macedonia. So when he wakes up, he tells Silas, listen, man, we're going to Macedonia today. Why? Because in Acts chapter 9, what did God say to Saul, Paul? He said, go. I think sometimes in the church we think, well, I got saved, now I need, you know, this whole process. No, just go in God. Just go in his grace. Go in his love. Don't beat yourself up by your mistakes, but begin to declare in your mistakes his grace. Begin to declare in your issues his strength. That go, do something with what God has done in you. It's not just for you. It's for everyone around you. And so in Acts chapter 16, there is a moment because when he comes from Derbe into Macedonia, there's a revival. He hears about what God is doing and people are being baptized. And so he begins to go down to the river. And as he's going to the river, there is a slave girl that is psychic that is declaring, "These are the men of the Most High. These are the men of the Most High." And she follows him for a number of days. And finally, Paul can't take it anymore. He turns around and he prays for her and delivers her, and she gets set free. And what happens is those that owned her became mad. So they went to the courts and said, "This man, this is what he's doing, and this is what's happening. It's unright." So the officials come. I love this because I want you to see something. God speaks to Paul. Come to Macedonia. When he comes to Macedonia, great things are happening. And in the midst of great things happening, life happens. I mean, a bad day, when you get stripped, beaten, and put in prison, that's not a great day. It's not. And here's the thing. Either Paul does one of two things. Either he begins to complain to God, or he begins to celebrate God. Either he begins to tell God what he has done and why is this happening in my life? Because life isn't fair. Just because you're in God's field doesn't mean the field's fair. It just means that he's faithful. He's faithful even when life isn't fair. I wish Pastor Henry was here so I could give him a hug. It's not fair, but God's still faithful. And that's the perception you have to have. A lot of times what happens is when you start doing something for God, the adversary is going to attack you. And when he does, it's like, well, yeah, I guess I'm just back to square one. No, you're not. The adversary didn't even use to attack you. He didn't even worry about you. But then things started changing in your life. You begin to get some momentum, some strength, some presence. You begin to declare some things. You begin to pray for your family. You begin to prophesy over your future. And then life happens. And if not careful, you'll let what's happening in life determine what God has already spoke to you. And so these men come and they arrest Paul and they throw him into prison. And this is where we find the story in Acts chapter 16. He's in prison. He shouldn't be in prison. He shouldn't have been mistreated. He was just trying to do what God told him to do. And what I love about Paul is he's not blaming God. God, this is what I'm doing. I remember when my son Cameron was born. He was born and we were so excited. I remember going to the house to get things ready and I was driving back on my way back. Chantel called me and said, "Listen, Karen's sick. There's something wrong with him." I said, "What do you mean there's something wrong?" "I don't know. The doctors are here. They took him to ICU. It's crazy." So long story short is he had a calcium deficiency and his body was struggling. And so I would love to tell you that on the way back, I said, "God, when I get there in the name of Jesus, this is what's going to happen." But I didn't. You know what I did? I said this, "God, I've given you my whole life. And is this what you're going to do?" I started blaming God for a moment when God was trying to build a mountain. You know what I realized is every valley of my life becomes a mountain with God. That we pray for mountaintop experiences, but the mountaintop experiences anyway in my life have derived out of the valleys of my life. That in the valley of my life, God always shows up, always ministers, always works, always is after my heart and my life and what's the future. Because I didn't create the future of my life, he did. He's more passionate about our future than we are. That is his destiny, that my choices create a destiny for my life. And so here's Paul and Silas, and if not careful, they begin to sit in prison and complain instead of sit in prison and worship. Man, this will preach right here. Like, if you could get this, this would change your life. For some of you, you get in your car and there's a voice that tells you what didn't happen, who did that against you, why they did that against you, why it's not going to break through, why you're in the place that you're in. And you'll begin to recite all the garbage, all the curses, all the issues, all the insecurities, instead of saying, no, 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 God, you're bigger than my moment. You're bigger than my circumstance. You're bigger than my mistakes. You're greater than my struggle. You're God. And greater are you who is in me than everything and anything that I'll face that is around me. You're greater. And that's what's happening in the life of Paul. And so they're in prison, and it says in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, I like that, because I believe today there's a suddenly for some in this room. That there's going to be a moment today in his presence that changes the moments that got you here. There's a suddenly. It says, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." When I've preached this text so many times in my life. And you know, I've always preached it, and I still believe what I preached. But I always preach that our worship breaks us out of the prison. That our worship shakes off chains and limitations. That our praise and our adoration towards Christ, our prayer times, equips us to move forward. And it separates us from the things that want to block us in, that want to incarcerate us, the hurt or the pain or the struggle, that want to limit us. It breaks us out. And I believe that. But when I was reading this a couple weeks ago, I realized that there's something more to this story. It's not about God breaking them out of prison, because the truth is that God didn't break them out of prison. When the jailer wakes up, they're all still there. And God didn't even do it just for Paul and Silas. God wasn't even working for Paul and Silas. He was working through Paul and Silas. That's a big difference. We, if not careful, we can think that God has to work for us when God is wanting to work through us. But if I don't keep my mindset, if I don't stay spiritual, if I'm determined by the information instead of the impartation, I'm gonna always think that God has to do something for me instead of through me. I'll get stuck in a me, me, me. God, I'm in prison. What are you gonna do now? God, I'm in this moment. What are you gonna do now? I think God is saying, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna act, David? Are you going to curse, or are you going to praise? Are you going to step back, or are you going to step in? And I love it, because in Acts chapter 9, everything changed in the Apostle Paul's life. Everything. How he saw, how he acted, how he worked, it changed. And I think sometimes, if not careful, we think that our lives are impacted by Christ, but not changed. How he lived his life was totally different. His conversion changed every way he did life. That is still true today. That when God comes in our life, it has to change us. And I love it, because God didn't just break out Paul and Silas like, oh, we're the chosen ones. Bam, chains are gone. See you guys. We out. It says that the chains came off all of the prisoners. It came off all of the... all the prison doors were open. Everything happened. And so when it's speaking about this, there's a profoundness about what God is doing in this moment. But you know what I realize? Paul said, I'm in a moment, so I'm going to create a moment in his presence. I'm in a moment. I'm in a moment where I'm not where I want to be. Things aren't happening like I think they should be. And either I can begin to complain and tell you who I am, or I can begin to step into who he is, and I can worship him. And what you realize is the next day that Paul and Silas are released anyway. But the prison guard is changed for eternity. It says that in that night that the prison guard cried out and Paul began to speak to him, and that not just the prison guard, but his entire family got saved. That God was trying to do something in a moment that wasn't convenient, it wasn't right, it wasn't fair, but God was still God. And that God wants to move and impact our life in such a profound way. Worship team, why don't you come this morning? You know what? I want to declare over you that there's a moment with God that changes everything. David, you don't know what's going on in my life. I know, but God. David, I'm struggling with my body, but I know, but God. David, we're believing for our church. I know, but God. Like, in my life, when I look back at all the buts or all the excuses, God showed up again and again and again and again. And he may have not done what I thought he should do. He did what needed to be done. See, that's the difference. I want God to downsize my giants. God wants me to upsize my faith. I love the story of David and Goliath. When David steps and sees Goliath, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Like, he looks around at his brothers and those that are going to, that are in the army, and he's like, who's going to go get this guy? And they're praying that something happens to Goliath, but God is stirring something in David that something would happen in David. See, that's my prayer, is that I don't try to downsize my life. I try to upsize my faith. And it's in the moments. It's in moments with God that things change. It's in moments of God that things happen. It's in moments of God that things work. And when we get into God's presence, it's like Psalms 1, verse 1, verse 2, it says, but those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You know what God is saying? It's not about the condition, it's about the source. That my life isn't controlled by the weather, it's controlled by the source, that there's a stream. Even when the stream dries up, always amazes me, because out in Catalina, there's a riverbed that's dry. How many know that our rivers are more sand lots? It's kind of wild, because I'm living in Oklahoma, and I'm in Oklahoma and Arkansas a lot, and every bridge I cross has like it's actual water. Like, that's what those were created for. But in Tucson, it's super nice sand. It's like a beach. It gets your hopes up, but sorry. But you know what's amazing is, I'm in Catalina where I used to ride mountain bikes. There's a riverbed and there's these huge cottonwoods. You know, the desert is the desert for a reason. There's nothing, but there's these massive cottonwoods. You know why? Because they're planted by a stream. That even though it's dry on the surface, underneath the water's still running. See, what happens in our life in moments is we think it's dried up, when God is just asking us to go deeper. Paul is saying, God, you told me to come to Macedonia. Revival was breaking out. People were getting baptized. People were getting saved. Amazing things are going to happen. And then, now I'm in a prison. But Paul said, but I'm going to go deeper, God, because you never let me down. You've never failed me. You've never stepped away from me. That your love is connected to me, that angels nor demons nor height nor depth can separate me from you, God. I'm going deeper. Will you stand with me this morning? I'm going deeper with you, God. I'm going deeper. I'm going to ask you to do a moment. And it's wild, because our nation is in a season of uncertainty, but heaven is not. God's not. God's never looked over the banister and said, whoa, had no idea. God's never been shocked in a season of your life. God's never been worried. I love it in Joshua. I think it's Joshua chapter 3 is when they crossed the Jordan. And it says, and I believe it says it specifically, it says, and the Jordan was at flood season. You know what we'd say is like, God, it's flood season, but in July, it's going to be a mud. Why don't we just cross it in July? Because it's flood season only for me. It's not flood season for God. God's not limited by what I'm limited by. God's just asking me to go a little bit deeper, that I would create a moment in my moment, that in my circumstance, my trial, my difficulty, my addiction, my insecurity, my issue, my weakness, that I would still bow and say, God, but you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords, and you are the God of Gods. You are my healer, and you are my rescuer, and you are my strength. You are my hope, and I run to you and find you. That when I search for you, I will always find you. You are. You are. Life is happening, but you are bigger than life. You're the author and the perfecter of my faith. And I'm going to shake off things that want to hold me and sin that wants to entangle me. And I'm going to go with you, God. I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you again and again and again and again. You know why? Because we need a move. God will bring the resources, but he's asking you to tap into the resource, which is his presence. And so as the worship team sings this song, I'm going to ask you to shut out what's happening on the outside of this, these walls. Well, David, you don't know. When I get in my car, I got to go deal with this. I know, but when you go out, you're going to be different than when you came in. You are. That's how God works. God didn't bring you here just to encourage you, pat you on the fanny, and send you on your way. God brought you here to have a moment that changes the moments. That this moment, this spiritual moment, is significant. Don't make it less. Don't make it just informational. Oh man, I feel better and God's good. No, God's great and God's in charge and God's bigger than what I'm facing. He's greater than what I'm navigating. And I need him to move now. God, I'm coming after. I've been asking you to come after me, but God, I'm coming after you. Come on, sing this with us. Come on, just get out of your comfort and just lift your hands and say, God,
still being moved.
You're going to do something today in my life, God.
The strongholds are still being loose. Yeah, God, we believe it. Yes, we can see the wonders are still what you do. The bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here. What you do, set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do, 'cause we need to move. We need to move. We need to move. We need to move. Mountains are still being moved, and strongholds are still being loose. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do, and bodies are still being raised, and giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see the wonders still what you do.
Come on, sing it today.
We are here.
Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Declare it today. Declare it for you today.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. Cause we need to move. Yeah. We need to move. We need to move. We need to move.
I want you just to with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, you're here today and you say, you know what, David, I need a move in my life right now. David, I just need God to show up. I know he's here, but I need his presence. I need a miracle. I need to break out of this anxiety and break into peace. I need to step out of these problems and step into his promise today. I need a move. I need God to create a moment today. A moment. A moment. It's not going to change what's around me, but it's going to change what's in me. And what changes in me is going to give me the power to change what's around me. Then I'm not asking God to downsize my circumstance. I'm asking God today to upsize my faith.
Amen.
That I'll see differently. I'll act differently. I'll rejoice differently. I'm going to declare differently, but I'm in a moment and I need God to give me a moment. I need a moment today. If that's you, wherever you are, I just want you to raise your hand to heaven and say, God, I'm right here. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we're so conflicted by our moment. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to actually ask you to come forward today. Just trust me, God can do whatever he wants to do right where you're at. You need a moment. You need a moment. You need a moment in Jesus' name today, God. Moments, breakthrough, encouragement. Lord, that your spirit would bring impartation, not just information. That, Lord, we'll forget the words of a message, but God, we won't. Lord, we will never run dry from a God that says, when you drink from this cup, you'll never thirst again. That I never fail. I never fall short. I never give up. But my spirit is enough. My spirit is enough today. Lord, I speak a new season. I speak faith. I speak promise. I speak encouragement. God, I speak that you'll do it again. You're the God that does it again and again and again and again and again and again and again, God. You're a God that is continual. You're a God that is systematic. You're a God that believes in who you created. Lord, I speak for a moment today. That I love what you did in Acts 16 because it wasn't about Paul and Silas. It was about you. That it wasn't just Paul and Silas, but it said that it was everyone. Everyone was impacted by your presence. Lord, so I pray today, God, Lord, that you would make an impact right now wherever they are. That you're faithful in the droughts. You show up in the lonely moments of our life. That your promise is that you will never leave us nor forsake us, but you stick closer than family. You stick closer than a brother is what your scripture says. I want you just to look at me, church. I'm going to give it to Pastor John in a second, but this is your moment. No. This is your moment. This is your moment because God believes in who he created you to be. God didn't make a mistake. He knows what season you're in. Whether you put yourself here or someone put yourself here, it doesn't limit what God wants to do here. Isn't that what his word says, that he breaks out the captives and the prisoner? A prisoner is someone that by their own actions are paying a penalty. God says, well, I already paid the penalty. A captive is someone that by someone else's action, it has placed them here. But God says, I break out the prisoner and the captive, that someone's choice can't hold you, your choice can't hold you, because my choice for you is greater. It is greater for you. It's greater for you. And so I just want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today to dream again, to believe again. It's so easy to, like, yeah, their life is going to be changed. You love seeing people win, but God loves seeing you win. Amen. He does. He loves seeing you win. This is a winning season. It's not a losing season. That's how God moves. Like, God's for you. God's for your family. He's for you guys. It's His plan. It's His plan. It's His grace. It's His love. It's His faithfulness that works us through all things. It's His goodness that shows up in the morning. It's His presence that creates power. And so I want to pray for you today, but I want to challenge you to do something. And Pastor John will come after the prayer, but I want to challenge you with something. I want to challenge that this week, as soon as you wake up, not as soon as you wake up as in you're human, as soon as you open your eyes, before your coffee, before whatever it is that makes you kind, that you would just start with God. That you would create just 5 minutes or 10 minutes of a moment. God, man, I'm going to wake up. Today is your day, God. I want to just give you glory, praise. Because you know what happens is sometimes you wake up to the pain of the past. You wake up and the adversary wants to remind you what isn't happening today. It's like you start your day in a deficit. But when you wake up and say, no, God, today you're in control. Today, I'll give you worship. Today, you're my provider. Today, you're my forgiver. You're my forgiveness. You're my strength. You're my hope. You're my dream. God, today is your day, God. It's my day because it's your day, God. I'm telling you, something is going to change in your life. It will change because you're creating a moment in His presence. I just want to pray for you today that God would do it in your life. I know we could come to the altar. I know God's bigger, but I just feel like, man, if we could leave here with a knowledge, like, no, God breaks everyone out, not just some. Because that's what happens. I'm like, well, of course God could do it in your life because you're great. You're like sweet and nice. But God's not after the sweet and nice. He's after everybody. Everyone. Father, I just pray today, the Lord, that we would continue to create moments in you. That we're not gonna wait for you, that we're coming after you. That we're not just gonna wait for a miracle. God, we are the miracle. Greater are you within our life than every trial, circumstance, situation, problem, difficulty that we'll ever face. Greater are you. You're greater. That your promises are greater than the problems. That your strength is more significant than our weaknesses. That your grace sees us beyond our sins, our struggles, our issues. That you are God and your love inspires us to live a life of what you called us to live. To step into all that you've called us to be. Lord, let us continue to create moments in you. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? Come on, can we give God praise today? Come on, come on. Really give God some praise today.
Remain here. Stay here. Church, it's our turn now. Extend your hands towards this man. This man has brought a word, and I know that not only to my spirit, but to many of you, this man has spoken a word directly from God's mouth. And so, Dave, we just We bless who you are. We bless what God is doing in you and your moment. Your moment that not only brings life to those that you speak to, but to your own spirit. Your own spirit is just being revitalized, being regenerated. I bless your mind to just to see and know the mind of Jesus, so that all those words that are instilled in your heart and your mind come together, so that when you speak, there is no doubt that this is God speaking through you. So thank you, Dave, for being with us this day, and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.